Hi, guys. My name is Anne, and I have a new life in Christ. And I'm recovering from codependency, control, and seeking my significance from the world. Would you guys pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we come before you humbly tonight, just knowing how much we need you. You're a healer, you're a provider. You give us hope in a future. I praise you for the story of redemption that you've written on my life, and I pray that it will be used mightily to give you glory and to further your kingdom work. We love you, we need you. In your holy name we pray, amen. Oh, hi guys, thank you. Okay. I was born overseas in Taiwan and came to the United States when I was 20 months. My parents, poor grad students at the time, made sure to raise me the only child in a good Christian home with strong values and discipline. At an early age, I came to know who Jesus Christ was, that he came to the earth to die for my sins so that I might live eternally with God. I accepted his free gift of eternal life. I have always known that I wasn't like the other kids around me. I had dark hair, dark eyes, and yellow skin, and that in and of itself was enough for endless ridicule. I refused to speak Mandarin at home and failed to accept the culture I was born into. I remember the first day I had a ham and cheese sandwich on white bread with mayo at school, which a friend shared with me from her lunch, and I immediately went home to tell my mother how to pack my lunches from then on. All I ever wanted was to look like all the other kids and to have parents who didn't speak with a thick foreign accent, something I tried relentlessly to correct. Looking back, I recognize my parents were great parents, themselves feeling out of place in a foreign country, yet instilling in me a strong sense of independence, a clear understanding of right and wrong, and a firm knowledge of my faith. However, as a child, I felt instability in our family. I could tell my parents' marriage was not happy for the most part. Due to either one of their jobs, we moved often, a total of 5 cities in 4 states between the ages of 2 and 14. I was always a new kid at school, so I never knew the comforts of growing up with the same group of friends. I desired to fit in with the in crowd and to be popular. I loved studying hard and being surrounded by music and dance classes because it gave me a huge sense of accomplishment. Nobody pushed me to do anything. Nobody pushed me to perform or to be perfect. I just liked being the best at something, and I generally found myself excelling in a lot of arenas. In college, I tried to change my persona to be that cool person I always thought I was. Yet, I was having a hard time understanding who I was and why I never felt comfortable in my surroundings. Like I was always somewhat different, or that I wasn't living up to a certain invisible standard. Because of the extracurricular campus activities I was involved in, I was making lots of friends, yet I always felt alone. I knew I was easily gaining popularity as someone who was extremely outgoing, funny, and creative, but I also felt neglected and forgotten more times than not. Inside, I was sad and hurting, but I didn't know why. I began to wonder if I was doing something incorrectly. I brought this sense of emptiness and loneliness to Dallas as I embarked on a shiny new career path towards success. The lights had finally turned on and I was going to have my breakthrough and I was going to change the world. Or maybe I was just going to crash and burn. The foundation in Christ I thought I had suddenly vanished, and I found myself as a chameleon who wanted to fit in. What began as social networking for my new career turned into running with a crowd that drank heavily and partied. I would go out on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. I would never let myself get out of control or too drunk, but then again, who was I kidding? I was a mess and I was enjoying it. I quickly realized that I was good at making friends. It came to me easily and naturally. These friendships, however, were usually instantaneous and shallow, but that didn't matter because for me, quantity was the same as quality. I was getting the attention that I'd so desired all along, and it felt good to be well-connected and needed. I had found my new life's high, that of going out, socializing, and finding self-worth in what other people thought of me. I was my own self-imposed social chair, and that gave me an identity and a necessity. The more I could cram into my social calendar, the better I felt about myself. The more I could network with others, the more important I was. And the busier the whirlwind of my days, the less I'd think about the loneliness I felt deep inside. To top it all off, I had an extreme case of FOMO, fear of missing out. My life was going somewhere, yet nowhere all at the same time, as I blindly searched for my purpose. In a similar pattern of trying to find validation, I turned to men to fulfill my need to be desired. I eventually found myself in a series of fast-paced, unhealthy relationships with non-believers that included a litany of sexual sins and their repercussions. That was when my perfectly curated world caved in around me. The lifestyle I was trying so hard to maintain became increasingly debilitating and had a death grip on me. My destructive path and life choices brought me down a road that spiraled into 6 months of severe depression and isolation. It was at this point that I walked through the doors of Watermark Church. Looking to reconnect with my faith, I joined a community group and poured all my energy into creating a wonderful bubble of equal parts, let's be BFFs and go out and have fun, and let's dig in deep and walk with the Lord. This was merely a band-aid for all my emptiness, and the wound was only getting worse. An acquaintance told me about Watermark's recovery program. She told me she went, initially not knowing why, but that she needed to be there. For some reason, that resonated with me, and I walked into recovery for the first time later that year. Little did I know that same acquaintance would become my recovery close group leader. Here, Regen provided a safe place for me to process through the things in my heart that were keeping me from Christ. I went through the program really digging through my most recognizable junk, my sexual mess-ups, and the need for busyness in my life, which I began to recognize as a compulsive desire to control my surroundings in order to numb myself and to create a perfect environment. One major hurdle that changed my perspective was a lesson in recovery on forgiveness. For the first time, I realized I wasn't allowing myself to accept Christ's forgiveness from the chaos I created. He loved me so much that he wanted me to receive the freedom and grace that he had already died on the cross to accomplish. I was allowing the belief that I couldn't be forgiven to consume me, even define my happiness. While I was beginning to find healing in a renewed relationship with the Lord, there were still times I felt the pains of confusion, regardless of the new truths I carried in my heart. With the top layer of my numbing agent, that is, control, peeled back, underneath I still felt loneliness, a lack of purpose, never wanting to commit to anything in case something better came along, and jealousy of others. A little over a year later, I returned to Regen as a leader and continued working on my recovery. I began to finally see that these struggles were merely a symptom of something deeper that Christ wanted to heal. When it was my turn to share my testimony in front of big group, I prepared what I thought was a beautifully written testimony. I shared how I struggled with perfectionism, control, and pride, very similar to the first half of what I shared with you this far. A few weeks later, I went online to listen to my testimony, and I was surprised to find it filed under codependency. Okay, wait a minute. I said I struggle with perfectionism and control and pride, but surely not codependency. I don't even think I understood what codependency meant at that time. Step one, admit. It was at this time that the Lord opened my eyes to see that my struggle with control and perfectionism was a symptom of something greater. My need to find significance and validation from the world around me, not in Christ. I would at times revert to my old sin struggles and coping mechanisms. I still wanted to feel needed and important. I wanted what that some other person was having. This is when I understood what codependency looked like for me. I was still trying to fill my life with things that only Christ could fill. By better understanding this, I was able to turn more fully to Christ to receive the significance and validation from him rather than to look for it in others' approval, worldly expectations, or my abilities in life. Now, going through the recovery process a third time, God is working on even deeper layers in my life. What I had been missing out until now was the understanding that God's grace is the only thing that can release me from my sin. But the only way for me to receive that is to fully trust the Lord, to turn to him on a daily basis, not just to accept his salvation and then live life according to how I wanted it when I wanted it. Step three, trust. It was eye-opening to see how much of my own pride and control was not trusting in the Lord and was rejecting his grace from fully healing me. I wasn't bringing my hurts and expectations and desires fully to the Lord because deep down inside, I didn't really think he could help me. My heart was still so focused on myself, there wasn't any room for God to truly reside. For me to not fully trust was saying God didn't know what I needed, only I did. And quite frankly, that was getting tiring. To know I can rely on a God who doesn't change, who will use every struggle within me in order for me to grow more and more in reliance of him, is earth-shattering to me, yet so very comforting. He knows me so intimately that he already knows what struggles I'll have. He allows me to fall so that I can recognize how much I need him and realize what a God-shaped void looks like in my life. And when I fully trust in his goodness and character, then I'm made whole and set free from the bondages of my past and struggles. So here I am 6 years later from the first time I stepped into recovery. And praise the Lord, he never stops working in us and never gives up. I used to run away from God's word in an effort to not feel a conviction of my sins and so that I could hide the shame of my sins and inadequacies. Like a child, if I couldn't see the Lord, I believe that he couldn't see me and my sins. I didn't want conviction of the offenses of my sin. Learning to trust in the Lord consistently, not depending on the circumstance or if I felt in control, was a big step for me. This led to a renewed desire to dig deep into God's word, to experience the word as it came to life for me in a way that is so much more tangible than ever before. I have learned that I cannot fully walk in true freedom until I have destroyed all the idols I used to hold on to as sacred. Not isolating myself or hiding my sins, but rather living in biblical fellowship has also been critical to healing and gaining the right perspective. I desire scriptural truth, many times spoken to me through those walking alongside me. I desire more than anything true vulnerability. For so many years, I have convinced myself my walk with the Lord was healthy and growing. But for so long, I've also been able to hide my sins by disregarding the healing that openness and honesty brings. Those around me in community and those who I do life with are able to extend grace because that is the act of living out the gospel message every day, that Jesus died on the cross for me, paying the price of eternal separation from him so that I may grow to be more like him. Each time grace is extended, the Lord's name is praised and worshiped, and we recognize our humility and our desperate need of him. I believe more than ever that God's word found in the Bible is edifying and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. Not for someone else, but for me. I used to be afraid of the concept of faith in Christ because I thought it limited the excitement and freedom to which I was able to enjoy life. Not so. I am no longer seeking others to validate who I am. I do not look to my networking abilities to tell me that I have hope for tomorrow. I've also recently come to embrace that I am more of an introvert than I thought. I always assumed that that was a weak personality trait, that it meant I was either shy or that I didn't like people. I now truly believe that I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. Psalm 139. I know that it's not wrong when I need more personal time to rest in the Lord. I know I do not need to seek personal value through a packed schedule, thinking that I'm missing out on life simply because I need to recharge and remain still. I know that the Lord my God goes with me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. Deuteronomy 31, 6 and 8. I'm slowly leaning into that truth, and because of that, I'm learning to no longer fear feeling lonely or forgotten. One transformative passage for me is found in Acts 17, 26 and 28. He determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. For in him we live and move and have our being. I know fully that the Lord has made us in the womb, has set our feet on this earth for a purpose, and that he is the one who gives us that purpose. It is in my maker that I place my satisfaction, and that for me is huge. Philippians 4:19 reminds us that God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. The word I've missed in the past was according to. I know the Lord provides. I know the Lord will supply my every need, but this time I recognize and trust that this will be done according to his plan. When I relinquish my control to the Lord, I'm replacing that control with another verb, believing. I'm believing that he knows best and that he will provide in his perfect timing exactly what I need and when I need it. No more, no less. What a more freeing verb to act out than that noose-like verb of control. I'm also believing that this will all be done according to his glorious riches, riches that I cannot even fathom. I had no idea this journey of life would be so difficult for me. In the midst of heartache, the stresses of life and career, I've never felt the Lord's presence louder or stronger. He has always been there for me, but this time it's different. This time I want to rely on the Lord and not on myself. I know there is hope when we trust in the Lord, trust being the hardest word. It feels like stepping out on a glass platform over a large canyon. I can see through the bottom. It's deep and it's scary. I can feel the wind blowing wildly around me, but I know that what I'm standing on is strong and sound. And had I not taken that first step of faith onto the platform, I would have missed the amazing views surrounding me. That is freedom, and that is trust. See, if you've come here tonight wondering why in the world you need to be here, you, like so many others before you, have found a place where you can lay your burdens down before a Lord who cares for you, no matter how great or small. This is an amazing place of broken people finding ultimate rest from their weary burdens. The Lord wants to restore your relationship in him fully. He desires to forgive, to give you freedom from your chains of bondage. Lean in, step out in trust, and be prepared for an amazing view. Thank you.